Breaking news. Not all Black Americans feel or think the same. Not all have the same perspectives. Nothing can be any more ridiculous than to believe we do. The sensationalized narrative provided by mainstream media for profit is not truth for all, and Glenda and I intend to share our personal political truths with you today. Join the conversation at the top of the hour. Dial 424-675-8318. Now, sit back, relax, and enter into the Miracle Zone.
Transition. At the end, heading into the next stage, it feels like you can't make it. It feels like all hell is breaking out against you. It feels that way because you're almost there. The birth canal is the narrowest just before delivery. It's the darkest and the coldest just before dawn. Hello, I'm Pamela Chapman. Welcome to the Miracle Zone, making it reality against circumstance, logic, and economics, appropriate for today when it often seems like a changing, chaotic, and very crazy world keeps us in difficult transition. Today is Tuesday, May 1st, and we're coming to you live from our place of miracle, the beautiful spring-like Colorado Rockies. We have shifted once again. Thank you for allowing us to have some time out of your incredibly busy schedule to help guide you into your very own dream come true. I'll facilitate your journey into whatever you care to manifest for this time. So whether you are transitioning through a job loss, career change, mate change, empty nest syndrome, retirement, loss of a loved one, or plain old limbo, we are here to help make the transition as painless as possible. Today, we are live with special guest Glenda Jackson. We'll be chatting about practicing our inalienable right to think. At the top of the hour, we'll be taking callers. If you'd like to join the conversation, call us at 424-675-8318. You will need to press 1 to speak to the host. Again, that number is 424-675-8318. Press 1 to speak to the host. Before we bring Glenda on this morning, we are going to take a few moments to do our grounding and our spiritual exercises. The Miracle Zone is a spiritual show, so we're going to do that today before we get into our inalienable right to think, to choose, and to speak. So, if you are in a safe place, please, if you're driving, if you are using heavy equipment, do not attempt to do this, okay? And all we're simply going to do this morning is quiet ourselves. We're going to ground ourselves. This doesn't take the place of your prayer in the morning. I just like to add this on top of my prayer, on top of my meditating in the morning. And grounding is to keep you right there, just what it says, grounded. No matter the news, no matter what comes along, You sway to the right, you sway to the left, but you don't fall down. I like to say weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And that dates me, doesn't it? But anyway, let's close our eyes together and let's just relax. Let's take some deep breaths together. Exhale. Come on, let's take a deep breath. Let's inhale the love of God, the universe, all creation. Exhale any fear, any pain, any negativity. Let's do that one more time. Let's take a great big old breath in. Inhale. And exhale love over our communities, our neighborhoods, our towns, our cities, and our governments. We are sending you love today, nothing but love. And now I want you just to take a moment with me, and I want you to imagine, if you will, that you have roots coming out of your tailbone, coming from the bottom of your feet, and we're just going to seek going down south today. We're going towards the core of the earth. It's nothing to be afraid of. This is just an imagination tool that we use to help us ground. And so as we see that root, that cord pushing through our floors, through the ground, the very earth, see it going down, breaking through with ease, we are headed toward the center of the earth, the core of the earth. It's not hell, okay? Nothing to be afraid of. We're just looking for that core, that grounding. And this tool works excellent when you're flying. I love to travel, but I don't like to fly. So I use this, and it's amazing how it calms you and grounds you. So we just do that. We continue to press down, 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 looking for the core of the earth. We begin to feel some of that heat. We begin to see some of that magma. And as we approach, we just imagine that cord wrapping itself around the core of the earth. Nice and tight. So you're steady. Steady she blows all day today. Okay? Nice and tight. And now I just want you to imagine that that cord is just coming back up, coming up, 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 breaking through the ground, coming through your floor, back into you. And now we just imagine that as light and love. Light and love filling us today. The light of God, the light of the universe, whatever you want to call that light. It's love. It's filled with love. And it's filling each and every one of us who are listening today. And now I just want you to imagine that you are stepping into a coat of armor. I call it the coat, your protection. And I just step into my protection every morning. And you can see your protection however you see it. It's no problem. Okay? And I just see it as a coat of armor. And I step first with my right foot, and then my left foot, I step in. And I see that armor coming up. See it coming up over your body, your knees, your thighs, your hips, coming up over your stomach, all the way up over your chest, all the way up to the bottom of your shoulders. And see that protection going out, down your arms, your elbows, your wrists, and your hands. The only thing exposed is your head right now, okay? And then I like to see a helmet. I call mine the helmet of salvation. You call yours whatever you choose to call it. And I see that helmet sitting on a mantle or a mahogany shelf. And I reach out and I take my helmet of salvation and I place it over my head. The only thing exposed now is my nose, my eyes, and my mouth. My eyes are so that I could see going forward, so that I can see the truth. My nose, I always say, to sniff out the truth because there's so much fake news today. So I say just kind of like use that sense to sniff it out and to smell all the glorious things that our Father has given us. And our mouths, so that we can speak the truth only to those who care to hear. We don't waste our energy or our time on anything else. And so with that, I like to say we are inviting in the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to guide us today. I am asking that Jesus, whom I believe in, join us today. You are welcomed in this place. And Holy Spirit, Father, God, all invited in, along with the entire celestial realm that I believe in calling in and assisting us. They are in many books that we believe in. So Archangel Michael joins us today. He says, you are a powerful, loving, and creative child of God. You are very loved. This is to our listeners. And then we have him also saying, be clear about what you desire and focus upon it with unwavering faith. And then we have Archangel Jeremiah saying, everything is happening exactly as it is supposed to. With hidden blessings, you will soon understand all is well. All is well. So without further ado, I want to bring on Miss Glenda Jackson. Introduce you, Glenda. Good morning and welcome to the Miracle Zone.
Hi, good morning, Pamela. It's so wonderful to be with you.
Oh, so wonderful to have you on. It's so good, it's so good, it's so good. Listen,
yes, it is.
Why don't you take a few minutes and tell the audience a little bit about Glenda Jackson, please.
Okay, I will. All right, well, Glenda Jackson, I am first and foremost a child of the living God, and I'm a mother of two adult children. I have five beautiful grandchildren who I adore. If you ever go onto my Facebook page, you will know who they are. And I'm also a Christian minister, a singer-songwriter, and I like to think of myself as an inspirational slash motivational speaker. I like to use my gift of songwriting and singing to inspire people to go beyond their circumstances and to see Jesus in all of the trials that they face and be able to move beyond those circumstances. I work for a ministry called Abundant Life in Christ, and we're located in Bloomington, Illinois. It is a ministry to the homeless people. And so on a daily basis, we feed people a meal after we have our daily devotions and Bible studies. We have a food pantry, a clothing pantry. We let people take showers. We do laundries. And so our ministry is quite busy on a day-to-day basis, taking care of the physical and spiritual needs of people. And so that's a little bit about what I do and who I am.
Well, that's wonderful. And, you know, I love what you're doing, and it's just amazing how we have been brought together. We have found out that we have a lot of things in common. But
yes, we do.
A lot of things.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So I just want to share with the listeners just a little bit, Glenda, about how you and I met, because as of 2 weeks ago, if it's even been 2 weeks, I don't think it's been 2 weeks. We had never even.
It's been 2 weeks.
It hasn't been 2 weeks, has it?
No.
No, it has not. So I just want to share a little bit. And again, I want to say, if you want to join us, join in, I'm going to give you the phone number once again. At the top of the hour at 11 o'clock, I'm going to take your call. The number is 424-675-8318. Press 1 to speak to me or Glenda or both of us.
Yes. So, and my time, that will be 12 o'clock.
That will be 12 o'clock your time, correct.
Yes.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Okay. So we met via Twitter on social media. And
yes.
Everyone has probably heard by now, if anyone pays any attention any kind of way to the news, the conversation that Candace started and Kanye responded by saying, I love the way Candace Owen thinks. And so there, if you know Twitter, people tweet and then people respond, and I am positive there had to be several conversations started around that particular conversation, I believe it was two Saturdays ago.
Yes,
and so
yes.
I happened to see, and mind you, on Twitter is very fast, it's not like Facebook, comments come up, people are tweeting, you got 230 characters now, maybe more, to say what you got to say, move on, and those feeds move rather rapidly. Well, Glenda's feed came up on mine, and she basically had responded to the tweet that Candace had written, and I believe it was the far-right one, and Candace kind of said, allow me to clarify, I believe the black community can do it without handouts. I believe the Democrats have strapped us to our past to prevent us from our futures, and I won't stop fighting until all black Americans see that. I'm not far-right, I'm free. Now, she tweeted that, and I believe Candace has received an apology since then. I mean, this has just been an ongoing thing. But what I saw was Glenda's response, was your response, Glenda. And
yes.
You said, keep saying to Candace, you were motivating Candace. You said, I have been praying and preaching to anyone I can about the true motives of the Democratic Party. I left the plantation in 2010, and boy, have I received flack from family, friends, and foe. So I saw that, and I just immediately responded because it was so close to my heart, you know. And I said, hi, Glenda. I left the plantation in 1988. Gets lonely at times, doesn't it? We can support Candace by not being silent any longer if they don't suppress our info. And then I wrote hashtag left the plantation. And you responded, awesome, Pamela. Yes, we have to continue to speak up. Wish we had a bigger platform to give our testimonies. I wish I had the courage to leave years ago, but better late than never.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
That is where that communication began.
Yes.
So we connected and we began to share our stories. And so, Glenda, I'm wondering if you would be kind enough to share the same story you shared with me offline about your family's political standings.
Yes.
Pre-Republican Glenda.
Yes. Staunch, dyed-in-the-wool Democrat Glenda. Not by my own choice, I have to say, though. I grew up in a family where my mother was very politically active. We grew up in the Chicago, and during that time we had a very well-known mayor, Richard Daley. The politics, mm-hmm. He had a political machine there that was just amazing. The grip that it had on the people of Chicago. My mother was a precinct captain. She was a community activist. She was on the city council. So we grew up in a really staunch Democratic environment. We children, when it came time to get people registered, my mom dragged all seven of us with her. We went door-to-door canvassing. During election times, my mother was at the polls at 5 a.m., and when we got out of school, we were at the polls with her until they closed. So we had a really deeply ingrained Democratic mindset. We were never allowed to question whatever the Democratic platform was, and as children, we didn't have those thoughts, or we just did whatever our mom and everybody said. Right. However, as I became an adult, it started picking at my mind the fact that we were constantly reminded, okay, you got to vote Democratic, but I don't even know who these people are. How do you know who to vote for? I didn't know any of that stuff. But just vote the whole Democratic ticket. That's what they told us. So I did that, and that went on for years and years and years. I never took the initiative to go and see what each candidate, who they were, what their platform was, how they voted on issues. I didn't see for a long time the fact that the entitlements that were given to our community were actually causing the Black community to become completely dependent on the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that for many, many years. And when I would question as an adult, oh my God, would I get flack? Mm-hmm. And my mother, you couldn't mention a Republican president or candidate in her house. Don't you dare mention that person's name in my house. So I was like that for years. But then when I got, I think it was around 2006 or 2007, I began taking the initiative to go read the backgrounds on the candidates on both political tickets, okay? I just, not every one of them, but the ones that were in the offices that I felt were the most important for me to know. Yes. And I started reading about how they voted in the Senate and in Congress and what their platform was, because I'm a person who's serious about my values, okay? Yes. I'm serious about not doing or aligning myself with anyone whose values go against my God and his agenda, okay? Mm-hmm. So I began to understand, well, this person is that I don't believe in this, what this person is voting for and that. So I started at that time around 2006, 2007, something like that. I started splitting my votes after going and reading the background of candidates. So I voted some Democrat, some Republican, and even independent, depending on what their stance was on issues. Well, then I said, when it came time for Obama, I voted for him purely out of emotion, First Black president, oh, heck yeah, we're going to get him in there. And I did that. By 2010, I began to suspect that President Obama, his values and my values were kind of not the same in many areas, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I started, after that, after he did some things that were totally against what I believe biblically and by the word of God, I didn't believe that. It didn't match up. And I'm not going to let him or anybody make me sin against God. And so I switched the Democratic Party. But I had actually kind of switched before I voted for him. But then I made the full transition after I began to see that he was his agenda was not lining up with my values and beliefs.
Yes.
Amen.
So
that's really kind of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, sweetie. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay.
And I was just going to say that that is what happens, because the same is true with my family. And today we're doing this a little bit back and forth because I don't want to hang Glenda out there by herself. So I'm going to share my story with you.
Yeah.
Hey, Glenda, we're going down together. No, we're not going down at all.
Well, we put together to support one another.
Right on. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I started my morning with 91st Psalm, so there you go. But anyway, my parents also were staunch Democrats, and we didn't really talk about politics in our home, a little different than yours. My parents just voted. My dad left West Virginia at a very, very young age. At 16, he left home, and he went north to New York, and he actually hijacked to New York. And somewhere in there, my dad began working for the Teamsters in New York. He became a shop steward, and, you know, you could say nothing wrong against unions to my dad. I mean, that was, you were going to have a fight, okay? And you could understand that as a young boy traveling, and they took care of him. He was a truck driver all his life, right? And so in 1988, I had already experienced some things personally with the Democratic Party or with those who were in charge. For instance, when I was separated and was looking for some resources, I remember being told I was pregnant, and I remember being told by some friends, they said, listen, you need some aid, you need some help. I was making $600 living in California. My rent was about $450 or $500. It didn't leave much else for anything. So I was told, Glenda, to go down and get aid for dependent children, that I could get some help. And so I did that. And I was sat there. I took the day off. I sat there all day. And I finally get my opportunity at the window, and I'll never forget it. I stand on the other side of that plexiglass, and I was told, you make, this is what really came out of her mouth, you make too much money, you need to go home and get pregnant. Well, as I had already shared with you, I had had the worst pregnancy and even more worse delivery. So that was not an option for this young girl. I went back and went to work, and the first job that I happened to land was a union position, and the money was great, but when the union decided that they wanted to strike, we were striking. There was no choice in the matter, and I didn't even have a choice in the position. And then there was another situation where I really needed the union to bat for me, to go to bat for me. They weren't there. So I thought, wow, I am giving them all this money every week out of my paycheck, and they do nothing for me but strike. Now, you know, I'm still out there a single mom. Well, I thought, this isn't for me. And as I, you know, matured, I began to see, just like you, that, you know what, maybe I don't have to vote the Democratic Party. Maybe there's other choices. And in 1988 is when I decided that I would no longer be a Democrat. Well, my God, my father and my mother were so angry with me, Clinton. I was a traitor.
I feel you.
Okay?
I feel you.
You feel me, right? And so, and then there's all this discord in the family. I mean, exactly what's happening today. But I wanted to share that so people could see that we both have that same story. As Black American conservative women, we have made a choice for ourselves, and we have that right to make the choice for ourselves. And you said something very interesting. You said that you voted on emotion. And this is what I see happening. It's all about emotion right now, Glenda. There's no reasoning in any of the behavior we're seeing.
Yes, yes. You're exactly right. And I'll tell you, Pamela, when I'll go back to when Obama was president, and you'll look at how, see, emotionally, blacks, I see personally that the black community were willing and still are willing and ready to stand behind his presidency purely from an emotional standpoint. And I mean, I can, in a sense, I understand that. It gave a lot of people a sense of pride, a sense of, well, you know, we've got an accomplishment here. However, for me, I'm a Christian, a strong Christian believer, and when anybody, any president begins to institute policies and that go against the word of God that are going to make me sin, I can't stand with you in that. I admire the Obamas. They're you know, they're well educated. They're very articulate. They're a good picture of a solid family.
Mm-hmm.
All those
Correct.
Things are fine and well, but I'm not willing to compromise my relationship with God to uphold policies that are ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's my opinion. Other people probably, and I know that they do, see it differently. So to me, you have many black Christian believers who are willing to, no matter what did, I'm going to stand with him. Well, I'm sorry. I can't take that position. I refuse to
take
that
position. And you don't have to. And it's you know, when we talk about us as a people, Glenda, there are no people on the face of the earth, I don't believe, that are more conservative than black people. We are extreme. I mean, get up on Sunday morning. I think the younger generation might be a little different, but for the most part, because that has been ingrained in our culture. You get up on Sunday, you go to church, you listen to what the preacher is saying. And I'm not taking sides. I'm one of those people. Hey, I'm actually more libertarian than I am Republican. I am a libertarian, and I will tell you do you, and you let me do me. I don't want government interfering in my life, telling me how I need to live it, okay? I don't believe that's the purpose. I believe in limited government. Now, and that's how I truly believe. I don't condone a person for anything, condemn them for another. That I always say that's your personal relationship. You have to figure it out. Now, this is where I'm coming from. However, our pastors will stand in the pulpit and they will preach from that Bible, right? And you think about it. We are more conservative in our beliefs, in our religious beliefs, but yet we'll come out of that church, go down to the poll, and vote against everything that we have been told because it's an emotional decision. And we won't take the time and read. We won't go and do the research. We'll listen to these lying politicians stand up and tell you what they're going to do. And, Glenda, you know this is true. Only time the black community becomes important is during an election campaign.
During election time.
That's the only
time. I noticed that a long time ago. But you know what's interesting is when the presidential nominations were going strong, you know, you had the DNC and the Republican National Committee. They were having their debates. And remember Dr. Carson was one of the candidates, you know.
Yes.
And and the man stood for righteousness, and our people just hate him. They hate him. Yeah. I mean, that is just unbelievable.
Where does that come from, Glenda? Where does that come from?
You know,
when do we start attacking one another?
It comes from a dark place.
That is just, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It is mind-boggling to me how we do that, how we will call each other coons and Uncle Toms, and that's keeping it nice. And I want to ask anybody out here that's hearing this, think about where those terms came from. You know, right now we need to tear down monuments, right, Glenda? We need to knock them down, and we need to tear down flags. Well, if you know about your ancestors and the plight of the Southern Negro, because that's what we were then, you would understand that as a people, we respect our elders.
We respect
our matriarchs and our patriarchs.
We respect
that. And to use terms that were coined by those that you say are racist against you, against your own people, is mind-boggling. You can tell that we've been brainwashed as a people. How can you do that to your own people? And I know some are probably saying, well, you know, there's those out there who are young and they're not our matriarchs. And there's so much hate and there's so much anger.
Oh, my gosh.
It is. And we're not going to get anywhere in that hate and in that anger. It's the conversation. And, Glenda, you and I are experiencing, they don't want conversation. They, being those in power, the elite, our politicians, our Congress, not all, the 1%, they don't want a conversation.
No,
and we
don't.
Are literally seeing that. We have seen that ourselves on our own platforms.
And you know what? You know what is another amazing thing is that I hear a lot of, when I get into these conversations with my brothers and sisters, I hear a lot of, well, you know, those are rich white. That's a rich white man that's in office. He don't care about you. He's got talking about President Trump and he's got money, and all he wants is more money, and he's racist, and he's this and that. And you know what? I can't understand why they can't see that none of that is true. The thing that sticks out with me is that he's got so much money that he can't be bought by lobbyists and other politicians or political interest groups. He cannot be bought. He doesn't need their money. That's why you see the whole of the political world in D.C. is going crazy because they can't do anything with him. They can't, you know, he's his own man. You got a lot of the younger people, I hear them speaking out about how the older generation, they're just old and they don't, their views aren't appropriate for today, and President Trump, he's harsh, and in other words, it's like he's an authoritarian. But you know, if you think about it, people that are against any type of authority, it's because of rebellion in your own. And you see that, oh, my gosh, this is the most rebellious generation of not only young people, but older people as well. People are just rebellious. And so when a real man stands up for righteousness, and that's what I see in President Trump, and I know people are probably pulling their hair out, saying, but look what he did, okay? Well, what all did you do in your past, okay?
Yes,
come on, we all have a past. And we can't continue to judge people on what they did in the past, because one thing I know, you don't know what God is doing in that man's heart. Amen.
Sure,
and
don't.
That's the truth.
So we're
just seeing a rebellious generation, and they can't take any type of authority figures.
That's interesting. And you know, that is so true. They don't like any type of authority. Now, now let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting because I can remember back in, let me think back. Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe right there in those 80s, maybe the early 90s, Glenda, you can help me with this, when the state began to tell us that we could not, we could not correct our children. We had no right. Right? Okay?
Yeah.
So that's
absolutely
where you could see the breaking down of that right then and there, was that you no longer have control over your children. If you decide you're going to discipline them, is the word I'm looking for, then we got something for you. You're going to stand before us. And this attitude has continued after one generation, after next generation, after next generation. Now, I know some are not going to like this comment that I'm making, but you know what? When you don't have any respect for the authority, and I don't mean people who lord over you. I don't mean Maxine Waters getting up and telling Kanye he can't, he needs to watch his words. I'm not talking about that kind of authority. We live in a land, and most people do, where there are laws, and we obey those laws for the safety and good of us all. And and when we don't like those laws, that's when we don't take to the street and burn other people's cars and homes and hurt people. We go to our town meetings. We go to our city hall meetings. We go to our senators. I bet you most people who are carrying on and angry and hateful couldn't even tell you who their representative is.
They couldn't tell you. They don't know their... They don't know their state representative. They don't know their congressman. They don't know anything. And they don't know that they have the power, because those people work for us, the government.
Absolutely.
And this is the thing. Dr. Carson, when he was campaigning for the presidential nomination, one of the things that struck me the most is that he said the United States government was never designed to be for career politicians. It was designed for citizen statesmen to come in and have their chance to do something to benefit the country. So that means that me or you or anybody is able to run for president. And if we win, then we get our chance to do our part to make this country great again. But people don't. And if people would even go to the government website, where you can see what are the qualifications to become president, you will be astounded. How little and simple it is to run for the presidency.
To run.
And
but
to
they'll
become
say,
the president.
Oh, you have this. This was what they said about Trump. Oh, you don't have any political background. You don't know anything about politics. Well, good. That's what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm saying it because I have been a closet Trump supporter, but no more, Glenda. I don't care.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm telling you, if my choice, now honestly, my choice was Rand Paul. Rand Paul was my man. When he was in Denver, I was right there rooting him on.
Yeah.
Go Rand.
Yeah.
Okay. So when it was clear that it was between Trump and Hillary, I have never, now I'm going to be honest, I don't know the last time that I ever voted for a Democrat or a Republican, because I've been, again, that libertarian, and no one really represented me. So, Glenda, honestly, I have written in people like Denzel Washington for my president. I have written in Chuck Heston. I mean, I'm serious, because they didn't represent me, okay?
And that's your right. That is our
and that's
right.
My right. That
yes.
is our right to do that. So mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. I saw Hillary versus Trump, now to be honest, I would have voted for Hillary before Obama. Yeah. When those two were running, I would have voted for Hillary.
Okay.
Just
okay.
because of what she was saying, okay?
Yes.
It more aligns with what I believed at that time.
Yes, okay.
However,
okay.
my views have changed. And
yes.
when I saw those two running, I was like, no way. No way
yes.
can I
yeah.
sit back.
Yeah.
Neither can I afford to write in a candidate. I must see to it that Trump is in office because he is representing everything that I despise about our political
mm-hmm.
system right now. That's
mm-hmm.
where I was
mm-hmm.
coming from. I knew that he would be a disruptor. I knew he would do all the things that I was sick and tired of seeing happening
mm-hmm.
in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way
mm-hmm.
I truly feel. I grew up in the Bronx, New York. Anybody wanting to know? That's right. I had to make a choice every day. I had to choose between drugs. I had to choose between going out and getting pregnant at 13, 14 years old when all my other friends were running down getting birth control. I had to choose whether to go into class and sit there and listen and be attentive and graduate. And
yeah.
that was a choice. And I say that for a reason, because I'm sick and tired of them saying, like you said,
mm-hmm.
oh,
mm-hmm.
it's only for the white rich. You know what? I worked my behind off, and I had doors shut. I have faced racism, as I'm sure you have, Glenda. But every time they said no, I said, watch and see.
Yeah.
And made it a
yes. Yes. Let me tell you something about me, and because people, by the world standard, I'm a poor person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm retired. I get a small pension. I get a little bit of Social Security, and I work part-time as a school crossing guard during the school year. So I by no means have any type of wealth other than the prosperity of my soul, and I'm satisfied with that. But I don't look at what a person has, what Donald Trump has materially and money-wise and wealth-wise, you know, that's for him. I mean, that you got
that's
people
his.
That are against the wealthy making money. They're against corporations making money. But this is the thing. I don't think because you are rich that you owe me part of your money.
Right.
I don't believe that. That's just crazy. If it was, the shoe was on the other foot, people wouldn't be saying that. They wouldn't be saying,
Absolutely. Well,
the poor need, I mean, the rich need to pay all of these taxes. Well, if they're paying so much taxes, then they can't expand businesses. They can't open up jobs. A lot of things they can't do. Look at what President Trump has done, how he has turned this this nation around. So you got jobs coming back from overseas. I don't know about anybody else's community, but I see more black men working in my community than I have seen I don't think I've ever seen this many everywhere I go. And it is just phenomenal. I'm seeing it with my own eyes. And so now, if you're against that, there's something wrong with you.
There's
if you're
something
against
wrong with
tax,
you.
There's something wrong with you. You know, and you need to. And if all these things cause you to hate your brother or your sister, there's really something wrong. See, this is a heart issue.
Yes.
You need to check your heart.
You
okay.
Need to, yes.
Especially if you're a Christian person. I've been cut off. I've had friends on Facebook and cut me off and oh my God, say all manner of things against me and call me all type of names and unfriend me and that's okay, you know, because if that's all it takes for you to cut me off, then were we ever really anything to each other?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
what's
that's
a heart
absolutely.
Issue? You got a real heart issue.
You got a heart issue. And and that's what I say as well. You know, I have a couple of friends down in Denver, and in fact, I just spoke to her yesterday. I won't call her name. I don't have permission to do that. But they are good friends, and they are Democrats, okay?
Yes.
And Glenda, we will go down to Denver. We'll call them up, say, hey, we're coming down. They're so happy that we're coming down. And we'll sit and we'll laugh. We'll have wine together. And by the middle of the night, we're talking politics, and we're going, your side stinks, and she's going, your side stinks. And this is husband and wife. You know, we all are there sitting there chatting. Uh-huh. And, I mean, we have some heated conversation. We don't call each other names. We just have our conversation. Yeah. And the next morning we get up, we have a big laugh. We have breakfast together.
Yes. And that's the way it should
be. We love each other.
That's the way it should be. Thank God for true friends and people that truly love you. Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking at as I'm talking to you, because obviously I think most Christians know this, and you probably can quote it better than me. I'm going to paraphrase it. But I know that there is a scripture that, and I use it a lot, because it says there, it says, you know, you can have the tongues of angels, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can, and basically you could have the greatest, you could be the greatest orator, but if you have not love.
But if you don't have love. You are like a clanging cymbal.
Yes, yes.
1 Corinthians 13, that's the love chapter. That's the love chapter, that's what it's called. 1 Corinthians 13, and everybody knows that. Everybody who's Christian knows that whole scripture.
They know that. They know that whole scripture. And that's what I don't understand.
There's a difference between knowing it and walking in it.
Yes,
see, that's what the people
Linda.
Don't walk in love. They talk about love. You hear it all the time. But they don't walk in it.
Don't walk in the love. That is so true because we know that we are hearing, literally hate speech coming from the pulpits. And I don't understand it. I mean, if you are not in agreement with the President of the United States, send love. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm tired of hearing, well, they didn't do that to Obama. That doesn't mean that it was right on the other side as well.
I did not
vote for Obama, but I would I would pray for him because guess
I
what?
I pray for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I pray and for him. I pray for his family. I defended people's hateful rhetoric against him personally because that, you know, that's still – no matter whether you like him or dislike him or agree with him or don't, God created him, God loves him, and you have no right to speak those things against God's creation. That's God's
creation.
That's right.
And I feel that either one of them in power or whoever becomes in that position, in that authoritative position as president, vice president, what have you, they are there because they are supposed to be there. The people voted them in. I am so tired of hearing about Russian collusion and all this nonsense. I mean, right now, there are major, major international happenings, North Korea, South Korea, and we hear nothing about the good. Now, this is an atrocity because this is our country, and what's good for one is good for all, and what's not good for one is not good for all. Now, I will say this. We know that our systems are broken. We know that our justice system is broken. And I'm not going to be the one to stand here and say everything is good, everything is wonderful. Uh-uh. No, it's not. But what we need to do is have a conversation. We need to vote people in with the better interest, the best interest for our communities. It makes no sense for our Kaepernick and the entire NFL team to take a knee because that doesn't bring change. The way you bring
change—that's rebellion.
That's right. And we need to have conversations. And we know those who are in power, deep state, 1%, whatever you call it, we know they do not want a conversation. Because Glenda, as you know, and you jump in here, when we made that comment on Twitter last Saturday, Saturday before last, we were getting 100, 200 hits a day. I was like, what's wrong with my phone? I didn't know what was going on.
I went
and
from,
all of a sudden. Go ahead.
I went from 975 people to over 1,850 people right now today.
And it's been two weeks,
and I didn't even get 2 weeks.
It wasn't 2 weeks. In 2 days, I went from 1,700 followers to 2,400. And people were saying, you ladies need to have your voices heard. You need to be heard, because it basically said, you know, they're suppressing us. You you know, someone said to me even today, well, that's what we've been trying to tell you. You haven't been trying to tell me anything. And there's many of us out there whose eyes are opened, but our voices aren't heard. They put up people who do not represent the entire – I mean, think about it. Think about it, Glenda. Like, how can you say that this one person represents the entire black community?
How
can you even say that?
You can't.
I mean, even –
it's wrong.
Like, you can't. You know, we
all have different
experiences.
Yes, that is true. I just want to read this now. Now, we were talking about how the disrespect that people have, and the these presidents, I mean, I've seen it way before Trump, the disrespect that people have spewed, the hate speech against president after president. Well, I pray for him because that's what God told us to do.
Right.
And I submit to the authority because he told us in Romans 13, let every soul be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So when we rebelling, and I've told many, many people, well, if you're a Christian and you really hate this person or you're not in agreement with them, then you should be praying for them because God put them there. He's the one that's in control of this whole thing, completely. Everything that's going on, God is in control. And that's where people need to get their minds back thinking about what they're doing and saying and what you're doing when you're thinking and saying these things.
Yeah, it is purely out of emotion, Glenda. And
yes,
you know what?
This is
how I feel. If they are not, if you do not appreciate their authority, like I didn't appreciate the way what is her name? Was it Janet Lee spoke to Diamond and Silk? I don't appreciate the way Hank Johnson spoke to them. If you don't appreciate those people in authority, that is when you go to your voting booth and you vote.
And you vote. That's
and
right.
You know
vote
what?
Them out of there.
Vote them out. And in the justice, and I just want to say this because I started this and I think I got sidetracked. We know that there's problems in the justice system. So, therefore, we need more black American DAs. Mm-hmm. We need more black American public defenders. We need more black American attorneys, judges, and people that are in Congress that can actually make things right. We don't make it right by being angry and stoning and burning and destroying the businesses and the community. Because then once you burn them down and destroy them and then you say, oh, we don't have any good businesses in our community, who the heck wants to come in there?
Come on, And if you walk in living in a community and you walking by empty storefronts each day, why haven't you gone to try and open a business there? Because in your mind you are a welfare dependent recipient. You don't you can't think beyond your circumstances. That's not my fault. That's your fault. Okay,
that's not the government's fault, that's your fault.
But Larry Elder said something really, really important. He's a radio talk show host.
Yes.
He said that the problem that's facing the black community is no fathers, no fathers,
that's
no fathers in the home. And the Democratic Party started that when Lyndon B. Johnson made it so that women receiving welfare, you better not have a man in there. A man got to
That's
go.
That's right.
We'll be your husband. We'll be your
That's
provider.
Right.
But you cannot
That's
have
right.
no man there. And so
That's
now
right.
we see the breakdown of the entire community.
Yes.
Entire
right.
communities of single black mothers. And now it's
That's
even
right.
spreading everywhere to every community.
To every
okay?
community.
It's
absolutely.
Not just us.
Nope. It's not just in our communities. This thing is spread, and you brought
yeah.
me to something that I believe is so important. You
mm-hmm.
talk about mindset, and again, if you want to join us, 424-675-8318. If not, Glenda and I will continue, because one thing we have found out is that we can talk for hours.
yes, we can.
We enjoy one another. Again, that number is 424-675-8318. You must press 1. So, it's you talked about mindset, Glenda, and I believe that is the most important thing. If we say nothing else today, it's a mindset.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
there again, if we want to go back. If you want to go back to our scripture, it says, "Let this mind
yeah.
be in you." That is in Christ Jesus. But we somehow, again, are the most conservative church-going people in the world, but we really, really don't understand what that is. And
Absolutely.
I think, or this is my belief system, because I sat under very strong evangelical prophetic ministries, and there's the goods and the bads of that for me anyway. But one thing that they have taught me, the two in particular, have taught me is that mindset. You can talk about all the miracles and all the good things of Jesus and still not be able to pay your bills and still not be able to have the confidence and the strength to get up and start a business or to go out and get a job. It is a mindset. And when we understand that, you can talk all the faith in the world. You can talk about what's the saying that's in the church community? God is good all the time.
Mm-hmm. God is good.
Yeah,
yes, he is.
But you must still get up and do something. You have
to
do something.
Yes.
You know, we as a people are strong. You don't get to survive this long and be weak. You know, my mother used to make incredible cakes. And I used to say, I mean, Glenda, cakes people would fall over for, okay?
Oh, my God.
I would say, Mom, why don't you sell those cakes? And I'm not going to pick on Mom because Mom has passed. And she was was pretty much up there by then. She said, "Oh, Pamela, I just love to make them and give them to people. It gives me something to do, okay?" But I say this to say this. There are people who I know are listening, and they can bake cakes. They can cook. They can do hair. They can.
Yeah.
I had a friend that she could take your old clothes in your closet, and you looking in there and you're saying, "Pamela, I have nothing to wear." She could go in your closet, rip by hand every seam out, and make you new outfits out of the old.
Oh, my God.
And you would,
oh, my God.
I'm serious.
That's talent.
Okay? Now, and I said to her, God knows how many times, you can do this. Why don't you start your own business? But she wouldn't do it. So, anyway, that's the way that went. But I have a caller on the line. I don't know if you want to speak to us. I need you to press 1 if you want to talk to us at this time. So there's so much talent, and we know it. There's so much talent. Okay, Glenda, I'm going to go ahead and take this caller. 309-287, and you are live and on the air.
Hello. I was listening today, and something that Glenda said really resonated with me. I grew up in a family that was staunchly Democrat as well. My father was in the union, and we always voted union. But after a period of time, I realized as well that I wasn't voting my conscience. In church, we were taught not to murder, you know, and I was looking at the Democratic Party saying, I'm voting for abortion. My Bible told me, it tells me still that Israel would be a nation that God would bless those who bless her and curse those who curse her. And we weren't standing with Israel. We weren't standing with Israel. We were giving away land. I mean, we were saying we were standing with her, but we were giving away land. And the Bible says, woe to those who divide my land. And, I mean, there was just issue after issue after issue, and it really resonated with me because I couldn't vote anymore against my conscience, against what God's Word says. I just couldn't do it. So I just wanted to let you know that.
And thank you for calling in. Glenda, did you want to say something to her? Go ahead.
Now, yes, I did, because that is a friend of mine. That's Jan Reynolds. And I'm glad you called in, Jan, because Jan and I have some very interesting and deep conversations as well. So thank you for that. But yes, abortion is another big issue. You know, come on, if your political party or whoever is in authority is voting in expanding abortions, and the abortions that go on today are just nothing less than a horrific, heinous murder, mm-hmm. because they're what now, and if Hillary had gotten in, it would have gotten worse. You see, we think that things can't get any worse, but you keep living, and you're going to see this world getting darker and darker and grosser, and people are to the point where they don't, this stuff doesn't even move them anymore. So if you're not moved by the things that are going on in this world, you need to pray, because there's something wrong with you. You need to get a new perspective. You need to get the mind of Christ, because this stuff is real and it's not getting any better.
Right. Well, I believe, too, Glenda, people have been desensitized.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
So
yes,
now when we hear of a disaster, it doesn't move us anymore. Oh wow,
yes.
you mean some more people were harmed?
Yes.
You mean,
yes.
you know what I'm saying? And
we're
so into us anymore. I mean, this is the honest truth. When my mother passed away, and this is what all this social media has done to us. We don't feel anymore. You know, young people, they date one another. They ask each other out. You know, they text it.
Yes.
You break up, they text it.
Oh, you said it. That is powerful.
Yeah, there is no more human contact. When my mother passed away, you know, people came on Facebook and said, oh, I'm so sorry that your mother, I was insulted.
Yeah.
I was like, you're kidding me. I mean, the people that were just out there and that you really don't know, that didn't bother me, but I'm talking about family members and close friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're texting me?
Yeah,
no,
on Facebook.
What is happening to us as a people? And then when you talk about aborting babies, I mean, you know, what was her name? Margaret Sanger? Wasn't that Hillary's, you know, mentor?
Study Planned Parenthood.
Study about Planned Parenthood. I mean, let's be real here. Let's stop playing around. How many black babies are being aborted? They don't care anything about you.
Yeah. No, they don't.
And you know,
no, they don't.
We integrate, and I will say this, and I'll say this to the day we die. I think it's the worst thing that ever happened was integration, because we lost our history. We lost being able to understand our mindset, basically, you know?
Yeah.
And we could have stayed segregated but assimilated into our neighborhoods. We don't support one another, Glenda.
No. Nope.
We won't buy from one another. Come on now.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Come
say
on.
It, girl. Be real. Be real, because these things, what you're saying, are absolutely the truth.
They are the
and
truth.
And yes, sometimes the truth hurts, but it
the
has to be
hurts.
Said.
They mm-hmm. have to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know
mm-hmm.
I have a business, and let me tell you, I remember sitting 10 years ago and just crying. Just crying.
Mm-hmm.
Going,
mm-hmm.
I had somebody say to me, well, where's your community? And it was a Caucasian woman. Mm-hmm. But why won't your community support you? It's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's a sad thing. And we
yes,
need to wake
is.
Up. Wake up.
Yes, we do. Yes.
We need to wake
yes.
up.
Yes.
And you know what? Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, they shut us down, Glenda. They shut
yes,
us down.
Indeed.
But it's going to
yeah.
go forth. Because like
it's
you
okay.
said to me,
yeah.
his righteousness always prevails. Always.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And you and I are going to do some more things. And
yeah.
this has just been amazing. I'm going to share something, and then we're going to play this amazing song. Tell us a little bit about the song that you wrote, Revive America.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yes. Revive America. Now, I'm a songwriter, but I'll tell you, I didn't start writing until 2009, and it's just a gift that the Lord supernaturally gave me. I was 55 years old then, and so, you know, that had to be a miracle. So, during Dr. Ben Carson's campaign, I really, really admired him and his values and just his personally, I just really admired him. And I wanted so bad for him to get the presidential nomination. And I remember one night I said, Lord, I would like to write a song for Dr. Carson. And I tell you, I went to sleep that night, and I woke up in the morning the very next day, and the whole song, the music, the words, the everything were just there. And I wrote it out, sung it out, sent it to my producer down there in Nashville, and he did the music, and voila, he did a wonderful job. He's a man of God, too, and he did a wonderful job. But what I thought about after President Trump won, I thought, you know what, he embodies the message of that song as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
mm-hmm.
why I was hoping to get it out and let people hear it again. We need to start singing positive songs like that.
Yes.
And I think America needs to hear that song and everybody sing it. You'll
Absolutely.
Have a whole different mindset. So it's
Absolutely.
Uplifting, and the name of it is Revive America, because we
Revive
do need revival.
America. We do need
yes.
reviving. Yes, we
yes.
do. Now I'm going to read this one scripture,
uh-huh.
and then I'm going to play
okay.
her song. And I want to
okay.
say to all of you who joined us today, thank you, and
mm-hmm.
and thank you for your support. In any way you can help us get this message out, there are more Black American conservatives who stand on the side of Trump than you realize. The hate
yes.
message that's being spewed
yes.
is not the truth for all.
It's
Just
not.
Remember
it's
that.
Not.
And this is to my Caucasian
yes.
friends. When you see me, don't assume you know where I stand politically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's
yeah.
another thing that happens. They assume that
yeah.
I'm a Democrat.
Yeah.
Don't do
yeah.
that. Don't do that to anyone
yeah.
until
yeah.
you know
yeah.
where they're coming from. So I want to read to you, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, I say lower energy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, in the dark day, and having done all to stand. And I just want to add, Glenda, that I do believe that we are in a time of awakening, that more people are waking up to what's going on. These are amazing times.
Yes.
I really believe that.
Yes, they
I
are.
Believe 2018
yes, they are.
Is a master year. I said that in the beginning,
yes.
that the
yes.
energy is a good
mm-hmm.
energy. And you know what? I believe that the glory is going to encompass us all in this earth.
Yes.
I just believe that.
Yes.
And having you come on and having your support and your friendship, I hope this is just the beginning.
It's just the beginning.
Come back. And
I will.
Right now,
I will.
I'm going to play your song. Thank you.
Okay, and before you do, I just want I just want to say that I am going to keep letting the Lord use me to wake his people up.
Yes. Be awakened.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Revive America. America. Love you all. Hear you next week. Bye-bye.